Lambs Media, sponsored by OnlySuperNews.com. Lambs Media is proudly sponsored by OnlySuperNews.com, news to make you feel good.
Yeah. Hello, good evening, and a warm welcome to the Lambs Media Weekly Quarantine Podcast. I'm your host for this evening's show. I do hope that everyone's staying well and is staying safe in these uncertain times. I hope you can all hear me as well. Basically, the idea is behind these podcasts is to bring new content, including interviews and some questions to you guys, the fans, as well as raising awareness of all the competitions, challenges and content that you can get involved in and be a part of while we've got everything that's going on in the world at the minute. And we'll have a little bit more detail on that in a little while. As always, it's nice to a lot of you to get in touch. So you know where the chat is. So if you've got any questions or if you want to say hi or want to shout out, then as always, make sure you do that. Thanks for the little message there, Stu. Good evening, Dave. So today's episode, we're going to talk through the FA's decision to null and void the league. We're also going to talk about the Tamworth Ladies' success, as well as information about Tamworth FC's first ever giveaway, along with a lot more. So we're going to straight into the first item that we're going to be discussing, really. And that is that the FA have taken the decision to null and void the 2019-20 season due to the current situation and what's going on. However, this does only apply to steps 3 to 7 of the National League system. And that of the ladies' pyramid and the wider grassroots game. We are yet to find out what the verdict is for the higher leagues. I'm sure if there'll be a few of you that will be waiting on news for teams higher up in the league as well as Tamworth. Essentially, this means that all the hard work which has been put in at the club this season has sort of gone to nothing. The season will restart and all the games played won't account for anything and we'll have to restart them all over again. However, since that decision's been made, over 150 different clubs around the non-league system have, as well as a number of MPs actually, have signed a letter to the FA opposing this decision, and I know that Tamworth are one of those. Some clubs are even threatening legal action against the FA because there's a lot of money that's around football and that. So some of that is going to be lost and clubs are going to want that back. I spoke to Andrew Damnition about the situation earlier today and we'll give that a listen now. Thank you for taking the time to speak to me today. Firstly, I hope that you and your family are well. And a huge, huge thank you for the part season that we've enjoyed and a truly a great team effort from everyone around the club into creating some memories for a load of people. But obviously you must feel pretty devastated about the news that, you know, effectively all the hard work has equated to nothing.
Yeah, firstly, I hope all the fans and everyone around the club is safe and their families are safe. Difficult times. In terms of the, obviously, football side of it, obviously the original news when the FA made that decision to null and void the season and then that being ratified, originally it was devastating because there's a lot of hard work that's gone into it. There's hours in terms of you can never get them back with your family, that you make them sacrifices to be the best you can be as a management team, as players individually. You know, the hours on the training ground, but just not just that, but behind the scenes, you know, watching the opposition play through video footage, producing an analysis and a game plan, that takes hours and hours per week. And with them sacrifices where you don't see your children, you don't see your wife, you have to put that extra hours in, you sort of, you don't get that back. The club want to move forward at the same time. So the club are putting a lot of hours in behind the scenes, things that the fans might not see. And when there's no reward for that, because normally in life, if you work hard and you work well, you get your rewards. Mm. But when that's sort of snatched away from you, and what I mean by that is the rewards of success that can be financially, but also just sharing moments with your your loved ones, with the fans that you've gone through sort of ups and downs throughout the seasons, with the club members who sort of gave you an opportunity to change your life and be at a great football club like Tamworth. For the staff all around it as well, what have put hours in it as well behind the scenes and sort of do the staff what will get sort of unnoticed, if you like, you know, from the physio to the goalkeeping coach. And the players as a group as well, I'm devastated for them because it's one thing sort of having a game plan, having a philosophy, asking players to buy in, but then players buying in and making sacrifices themselves and grafting on the training ground. I'm devastated for them as well, as an old. But yeah, so, you know, we'll just have to watch this space in terms of where we go from here.
Yeah, I think many fans will be quite interested to see where the potential for like legal action and opposition to this decision from the FA will lead to, because obviously there's been a lot of that speculating on the internet at the minute. What do you think about that?
The disappointing thing is I hear the word equality used a lot within the Football Association. I used it, you know, you hear it a lot about now, treating people equally, you know, with race, religion, culture, genders, and that's a magnificent thing that the FA have sort of proposed. I think what we've got here is a clear demonstration of an inequality between the football pyramid. Say that you're going to nullify steps 3 to 7 down, and then the justification and the reasoning behind that, why you're going to nullify and avoid that situation is one of it being, for example, a financial situation. The FA in one sort of breath say that we're going to null and void the league to help steps 3 and 7 come out the other side. My argument would be that to be is that, well, we still have to pay the contracted players until the end of April. Yet the clubs at this level have got no income. So if you're null and voiding a season for financial purposes and then asking us to pay the players, well, it's actually not for financial purposes that you're null and voiding the season. I think that the football pyramid should be treated the same. You know, if we was in an FA Cup game, for example, and we was playing a league team and we're Tamworth Football Club, you wouldn't start from 2-0 down. You know, you start from 0-0 and start the game. I think as well that you possibly have to put the things into two points. So you've got professional football and you've got non-league football. Non-league for me has to have a start point. So the non-league start point is step one, the National Premier League. And I think that if the National Premier League and step two, the Conference North and the Conference South, if they don't get the same decision as us, then there's a clear inequality between steps one and two to step three down, and people then will be questioning the ethics of the FA and say, what's the purpose of this? Is it money orientated that steps one and two get to finish on points per game or get to complete their season in terms of the financial rewards for the FA? I think that there's got to be some consistency between them levels, because if there's not, what you're doing is you're making it very difficult for clubs at step three to step seven to gain financial sponsorships from businesses, and you're creating a massive issue for non-league football. And I think as well, the FA have got a decision to make where they're either going to lose non-league football, the respect of it, or they're going to gain it. And what I will say as well is that I think it's got a long way to go in terms of the decision of what step one and two make. If they continue the season, or they do it on a points per game system, which a lot of other organisations are doing, then I think that what you'll find is that there's big legal action at court from a lot of clubs, because they'll be asking, well, how come step one and two finish like this? And the FA put in their statement that, well, we couldn't finish it on points per game for the fairness and integrity of the competition. Well, if that's the case of step three and seven, then that's got to be the case at step one and two. For the integrity and fairness of the competition, it's got to be treated in the same way. But I think there will be legal action if there's any differences in the way that, especially step one and two are concluded, and the way their season's concluded. I think from that, there'll be a lot of legal action.
Yeah, am I right in thinking that steps one and two are having a vote between clubs?
Yeah, that's correct, Harry. So they're getting the option to vote on sort of how their season should be concluded.
Right.
Firstly, should it continue? So should they find the time to play the remaining fixtures?
Yeah.
And at the same time, or should it be sort of curtailed, if you like? And then from that decision there, if it does get curtailed, they'll decide on whether it should be, they'll get that vote on whether it should be points per game or null and void. And some of the rumours that I'm hearing is a lot of clubs want the season to finish, but it be ended on a points per game system, because a lot of clubs are struggling financially and not having an income into the club. From what I'm hearing as well, for Tamworth, for example, you've got the situation where there might be, well, there is a few clubs that are requested to come down a league because of the financial implications or consequences that COVID-19's had on them. So when them clubs do come down a league, or if they request to come down a league because of ground grading, because they haven't got the finances, or they've lost significant sponsorships and money, that will be interesting then to see, because Tamworth got the best points per game at step three as an old, whether we do go up. And also you've got the Bury situation.
I was going to go on to that, yeah. There's very little that's been said about, you know, the league further higher up. And obviously there's that spot there where Bury would have been.
Totally. I mean, the Bury situation, obviously, it means that League One's got 23 teams in now for sort of commercial rights, for sponsorships. If you think about the revenue that you create on a Boxing Day or a New Year's Day, having one team in the league not playing on them game creates an issue. And obviously, for their league formatting and structure, they need 24 teams in League One, League Two, 24 teams in the National Prem. And the ones who are going to sort of face maybe having one less will be the Conference North, for example, which then will lead to say, can you have a National League with only 21 teams in? Because the Conference North at the moment got 21 teams. So then that means then, well, you think that at least one team's going to have to go up. And the other thing is the restructuring of the Conference North and Conference South.
Yeah.
If you look at the leagues above, they've got 24 teams in. The Conference North and Conference South for this season coming originally wanted 24 teams in. So it'll be interesting to see if they still go down that route. And that's why I think there's still a longevity in sort of where Tamworth will finish up in terms of the start of next season. Will it be in the Conference North, which they probably rightly should be because of our season and our points per game tally and being in pole position to get promoted? Or will it be in the current league that we're in, which would be a real hammer blow for the football club as an whole, for the fans, for the players, for the staff, but mainly for the committee, because the finances that they've put in to give us a push have been tremendous. That's how tremendous that's been from them. It'd be a real disappointment and it'd be real sort of a smack in the face, if you like, which might have some consequences for next year for us.
Yeah, I suppose it'd be interesting to see where it goes to. So it's just a case of watching this space and seeing what happens. But obviously, bearing that in mind, it's never going to take away the great memories that we've got from the campaigns in the last season. But what would your favourite memory be since sort of the start of the season?
There's been a lot. I mean, I'm an emotional guy, so every game sort of has the same importance in terms of 3 points. But I'd have to go with two main memories, and for two different reasons. I think the Hereford FA Cup victory, in the manner that we did it, away from home, being the underdog, and also for the players to show their class over two legs and show that they'd be fine in the league above. Also for the fans, because obviously the history of the club has got a big history over recent years. They've had a barren run in the FA Cup. So to give them that moment, to give them that success, to give the club that financial sort of success, reward and a bit of stability, was engaging. And to see the reaction of them fans that night and to celebrate with them and to celebrate with the players, because I know how hard they graft and what sacrifices they make for their family. That sort of, I'll be honest, that night brought tears to my eyes, because it feels like a moment where you as an individual as well as have been given an opportunity by the board, by Mike Fowler, who put me and Gaz forward at the time. You've been given an opportunity, and what you're doing is you're grabbing that opportunity with two hands, and that can change your family's life. So that was under the lights as well, with a big crowd, an FA Cup night. That was something that will live long in the memory with me, and especially winning on penalties adds to the drama, if you like. The other memory for me was the Royston game, the win at home, because we came off the back of three losses, and now Harry in this game You know, as people know, that as a management, you've sort of got to be brave in taking the risk to take that job, if you like, because it's on a results basis. So it's not like being a teacher where you know your job's secured for life. Maybe you take a you take that sort of plunge and say, right, you're going to back yourself as a management and as a management team, and go to try and win things and take that risk because you believe in your ability.
Yeah.
After the, going into the Royston game, we lost 3 on the bounce, which is has never happened in my managerial career, even at youth level. I've never lost more than 2 on a bounce. So I've never lost 2 on the bounce before that time. So for that to happen, and what it was is there was rumours of we might lose our jobs, which is crazy because we've got like a 70% win ratio now at the moment, which is, I think, is the highest in non-league. But then feeling that pressure, and it, what it was for me is getting the reaction from the boys and someone like saying, Andy, guys, we're gonna fight for you tonight. And that was some of the texts that I've got still in my phone on WhatsApp saying we're gonna put it all in, we're gonna leave everything out on the pitch for you, because they got that feeling as well, or a little bit of that feeling. And the other thing is sort of like is for family. If we lose that game and we lose our jobs, possibly, I'm not saying it would have happened, but then what's the effect on my family as an individual, or Tom's or Gaz's, and you know, sort of I'm telling my family we're gonna do well, and you know, I'm going to provide a better life for you. So, you know, it would have been hard and difficult to swallow. But that was the reaction that night from the lads will live long in the memory, because I look at it and saying, well, you've helped me still be at Tamworth Football Club, which is a club that I love.
Great stuff. Now, clearly there's been like loads of fantastic performances throughout the season, in like individually and on a team basis. But if you had to name one player to keep at Tamworth above all else, who would it be? And why? That's a really tricky question.
Yeah. I mean, you've got Captain Fantastic, what scored 20 goals from centre mid, and like you've just said there, Harry, the boys completely have been tremendous as an old. And the thing is you've got like people like Bilal Yafai, who's come in as a young man and worked his socks off game after game after game, and you know, you've got, I could go through the squad, like the quality of Fordy, and you know, the consistency of Henry Wilder, Goffier. You know, the consistency and, you know, how can I put it, of Jimmy Fry.
We could sit here all day.
We could sit here all day and just go through it. And, you know, the wingers, the shift that Dan Queen's put in, Tyra. But if I had to pull him, there's been some consistent performances, consistent like a Ryan Beswick, and he scored the goals. But if I had to pull in sort of one person who I think, if I said at the start of the season that the team that won the league would have the best defence, and we've had the best defence, and on points per game we would be top of the league, and we're in pole position. But it'd have to be Lathaniel Roturna for me, because at 30 years age, the consistency of his performances, the coolness that he brings, you can see that he's played like some of our other players at a higher level in league football, but he's played 29 games out of the 30, and he's been top drawer in a lot of them games. And if you look at the defenders, we've had a very good defence as an old collective. If I look at the back four, and Jazz has been tremendous. If you look at Jordan Coff, he's had spells when he's been injured. Henry Wilder has been he's been prominent there, but then sometimes he's been out of the team. Joe McGunder's been injured. We've had the situation at right back where we've chopped and changed. But if you look at Lathaniel Roturna, he's been there consistently in that back four, and he's performed consistently at whichever partner he's with at centre back. And I think he just showed a class and a calmness throughout the season. And his attitude's been tremendous, you know, throughout the season. He comes in, he trains, he hardly misses a training session. You know, he's got a great personality about him in the changing room. And also what I will say is this, he's just won the league with Kettering. And you've got to remember that, because sometimes you can lose your appetite or your hunger, or think, well, I've done this already last year. That wasn't the case.
Yeah, get too comfortable.
Get too comfortable. That's a great way to put it. Lathaniel Roturna, for me, like, really showed a maturity and a consistency and a good level of performance week in, week out. And there's other lads that we could mention there. Like I said, Ryan Beswick's been phenomenal. Bilal Yafai, Aaron Ford, you know, going on. You know, Tyra Wake, Dan Queenie's put a shift in up front. You know, Jazz Singh's made some excellent saves this season. I can go through the team. Continuously, you know, there's been some magical performances. Chris Lee, really so nice. But for me, Snoop, Nathaniel's been consistently very, very good.
Yeah, I saw a statistic. It was a graph not long ago, and I think it was Roe Turner and Jazz, which have played like the most games this season. But to know from a management perspective that the consistency's there, been there in the performance and the mindset as well, you know, it's not an easy question to pick out someone like that. But
not in a season that we've had. I've spoke to Tom and Swindon Aaron, and we want to keep the majority of the squad, not just for a playing perspective, but also that I feel that they're a team. They're part of Tamworth Football Club. They're ingrained into the history, but they know the philosophy of the club, what we've tried to bring from right from the academy right through to the first team. They understand the way we play. But most important there is, I've got a saying, we have a saying at West Brom, for example, of developing Premiership players, but developing Premiership people. And in that changing room, for me, there's some what I'd call, before being just good footballers, but great people. And for me, that's more important of building a team than being on the football pitch.
Yeah. Yeah. Great stuff. So we've touched on this slightly now, but we've talked about the highlights. What would you say your lowest point is this season?
I think the lowest point would be, again, there's the Bromsgrove game, which was a low point for me, because I think that we played, that was one of the best performances of the season as an whole. If you think about the top two going for, you know, a game of football or going for a league title.
Yeah, the second one away from home.
Yeah, the second game against Bromsgrove away from home. I mean, there was 1,800 on the day, which was the biggest crowd in the legal season. I thought that we bossed the game. I thought tactically we was excellent. I thought the performance levels of the lads in terms of energy and desire and hunger, as well as quality, was phenomenal. And to go there, if someone said if it was a boxing match, it would have got stopped after 20, 30 minutes because we battered Bromsgrove to a pulp. Football's obviously not a boxing match. And we just that day didn't take our chances. Mm. And what that did is we would have went that clear at that moment of the old league. I think we would have just like strode away from everyone.
Yeah.
But then that sucker punch of conceding the goal from a set play and losing 1-0, and I couldn't fathom to this day, you know, because I think in football as a management, you can control a lot of the results, you can control a lot of the outcomes. Mm. That was one of them days where we did everything right and we just didn't put the ball in the net because of sort of inadequate finishing, and it was a real low point. But at the same time, is you learn a lot of self, you learn in your low points, Harry, you learn, that's when you sort of see your characters and you learn a lot about yourself. So then how you react and bounce back from that is very important. And the lads, after losing against Peterborough, won 6 in a row before the season got curtailed, obviously. Yeah. So you learn a lot about the team then. So it was a real low point, but at the same time, it was a character building. And the other one was after the Peterborough game. We went back into the changing rooms and like I said before, it's not us and them, it's us as a collective. And we had a hard, difficult talk in the changing room about what's going on here. Like, we've lost 3 in a row. And some lads mentioned some things, and some the managers mentioned some things, and it was an art to art. But we've got players in the changing room who can do that. And we've got an open changing room where we feel that players need a voice. And that was a difficult moment. But then after that, the lads really, at the Royston game, like I said, some of the texts I got, and WhatsApp messages from some of the players about, you know, we're going to fight for your family and stuff like that is things that I'll remember. So it was a low point, but I came from it.
Yeah. Finally, then, is there anything that you want to say to the fans at this point listening in?
Yeah. But first of all, is to stay safe and sort of like, you know, keep your family safe and that. But when football does come back, is that make sure you come back through the gates. The football club and all football clubs at this non-league level are going to need the fans more than ever. You know, like I can't stress how much that the club will need the fans in terms of attendances. And what I would say is we need more attendance, especially in them 2-3 months, than we've ever done, and that's across non-league as a whole, because we're going to need your sort of like support in terms of your emotional support, in terms of your financial support, in terms of your backing, and sort of to galvanise the club to get sort of non-league football up and running again. That's going to be needed in abundance. So, and what I'd say is as well is that from my experience with Tamworth Football Club, is that the fans, when you're winning, are unbelievable in terms of, how can I put this down? I remember being at a game at the Nuneaton game in the FA Cup, and I actually thought there was about 5,000 or 6,000 there. The atmosphere was tremendous. And on the other side, I remember losing 1-0 at Gainsborough at our time, or 2-1, and the fans were sort of like really giving us an odd time. And what I would say is just, in football, in them difficult moments, it's important that we stay galvanised, because the culture of a club is really important. So at Tamworth at the moment, everybody works hard, including yourself, Harry. The media team work hard. The goalkeeping coach works hard. We've got a physio who turns up to players' house at 10 o'clock at night on days we're not supposed to be working to treat players. The staff all work hard. So there's a culture. And that's the same with the fans, Harry. There's got to be a culture at the club where people come and feel, I want to play for Tamworth Football Club, because the fans, no matter what stay behind you, they're there for you through thick and thin in terms of whether you're winning or losing. And we've got a fantastic group at Tamworth Football Club. So it's just that to say, right, stay behind the boys, no matter the result. If they're giving 100%, stay behind them and stick behind them. Because this club will go back to the conference levels, because it's got a fantastic setup and fan base.
Andrew, thank you very much for talking to me. It's been a pleasure.
So that was me speaking with Andrew earlier today then. We're going to stick with men's football for the minute. In other news this week, we've heard that BetVictor aren't going to be the sponsors of the Isthmian, the Northern Premier or the Southern Premier Football League next season. Now, interestingly, the company have activated a break in the clause in their contract before the crisis with COVID-19. That means that their sponsorship will end on the 9th of July of this year. In a statement, the Isthmian League say that BetVictor ended the contract because of escalating negativity towards betting in football and, most disappointingly, compliance breaches by clubs. For me, what's really interesting is that the start of this season, when BetVictor were announced as the sponsors, there was a lot of negativity about the fact that a betting company was sponsoring the league. With it now being cancelled, I think it'd be quite interesting to see who next year's league sponsors are. Yeah, let me know what you think of that in the chat. Hello to everyone who is giving us a message in the chat. Hello to Dave, Andy, Jim, Matt, Paul, Kev, Stu. I hope you're all right. Jake. Before we continue, I'm just going to pause there really and go into the different things that Lambs Media are currently doing and will be continuing to do over the next few months while all this is going on. In the comments section, I'm about to post the appropriate links that you need to have access to everything. And I'm going to go through it in a little bit more detail now. So the first thing is, on this day, we've got a section on our Twitter page, which is a throwback or a memory from the past, which has occurred on this day in history. It's a really interesting thing to keep an eye on that happens early every morning. For me, a younger fan, it's quite interesting to find out what sort of happened in the past. Also on Twitter, we're hosting the greatest player competition. Over 200 people minimum are getting involved in that each day, which is really great to see. We're fast approaching the end of the first round. If you want to get involved, then you can vote on today's poll on the Twitter page for your favourite player from the past. Next is the weekly quarantine quiz. Each week we've got 10 quiz questions based on the club. We're now on week 5, I believe, and you can access that week 4 or 5 we're on by clicking the link in the chat section. We're also trying to find, we're working hard to find the goal of the season. We've put together as a media team a YouTube video containing every single one of this season's goals. It's about an hour long because we've had a lot of goals, so you might want to sit down with some popcorn for that one, but I can assure you it makes an excellent watch. There's then a link where you can nominate for your favourite goal, and a chat section where you can, and if you go into the bio underneath, you can nominate, and we're then going to put a shortlist together based on that, and then you can vote for the finalists in the coming weeks when we produce a video then. The content doesn't stop there. We've also got a giveaway on our social media platforms. For the last four games, we'll be offering a number of prizes on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. The first giveaway ended yesterday. Congratulations to the winners. The second one was also launched yesterday. And with there's VIP tickets available, and then there's different prizes as the games go on. So head over to Instagram, Twitter and Facebook to get involved with them. All the instructions are there. Also coming up in the next couple of weeks, we've got a documentary based on this season, so be sure to keep an eye about that. But there's plenty to be keeping you busy and for you to be getting involved with, as well as tuning into this new weekly podcast at 8 p.m. on a Tuesday night. So moving on now to ladies football. About a year ago, the planning began for the club's first ladies team. Until around a month ago, the team were well on their way to getting promoted after an excellent season, winning 13 games and only drawing once. And that was against last year's title contenders, and they didn't actually lose a game in the league, which is quite remarkable. However, despite everything that's happened and the promotions being blocked by the FA, a vote did take place, and it was decided that even though everything was going on with COVID-19, the season would be decided on points per game, meaning that the ladies were crowned champions. So that's really interesting that they continued to go through on points per game and find out who would have won the league. And ladies manager Ryan Hamilton joins me now. Ryan, thanks for joining me. Firstly, I hope that you, your family are well. And secondly, I must congratulate you, your coaching staff and all your players on your great success this season. But you must feel a little disappointed that your hard work won't be getting you promoted.
Morning, Harry. I hope that yourself and all the listeners are well as well. And yeah, I think it's a little bit hollow, the fact that we've sort of been crowned champions on the back of what has been a fantastic season for the ladies. They've put in a lot of work. It's a little bit hollow that we're not going to get the promotion that I think they deserve. But I think, unfortunately, there's not just ourselves, there's a lot of teams across the country with the null and void decision being taken across 3-7 in both the male and female game. I think we're hard done to, but I think there's certainly other teams. Obviously, look at our first team. They're in a position where they were looking at almost certainly going on and getting promotion themselves and winning the title. And I think they're in a similar situation. It's a massive shame. And I think, from a personal note, it would have been a better option to go points per game across all those leagues, but unfortunately it's one of those things. There's not a lot we can do about it now, but from our point of view, yeah, we are disappointed that we've not got the promotion that I think the ladies definitely deserve. But we'll regroup, we'll go again this season, and we'll make sure there's no doubt about it come the end of next season.
Has there been much said about like the first three tiers of ladies football?
Very little, to be honest. As far as I'm aware, I'm keeping up with things and talking to a few people. It's pretty much the same as sort of the top three for men's. It's just they've been told it should come back, but when that happens is no one really knows. So I think it's almost worse to be in the top three tiers of women's football at the minute, because again, it's similar to the lower end of non-league football of men's football. There's not the biggest amounts of money involved, so clubs are run to a budget. So I think for them, they're sort of paying players, trying to keep them fit, knowing that at some point they could get a call saying we're back in a couple of weeks. So I think I'm almost happy that we do know, compared to them that are sort of left in limbo being told to prepare for something that may or may not come back.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, with football, there's always that knock-on effect. So obviously if the first three tiers do go ahead and play their games, they're going to have teams promoted down to step four. You know, and how does... Does that mean there's just going to be more teams left in step four? I think it's just one of them that you're just going to have to wait and see, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's for the FA to decide on how they go about things, whether they decide that they're still having promotions and relegations through tier 1 to 3, and how they're going to structure the leagues based on that. But I think we'll have to see when they can get back to playing. Is it going to be feasible for those three leagues to go ahead? And then if so, with tier 3 women's football being National League, my question would be, well, why is it any different for tier 4, which is still National League? So I think the FA have got certain things that they need to be clear about when football does return or if it doesn't return.
Yeah, very similar to the first team then. Alongside your league success this season, you were still in the League Cup and you also had a very close battle in the FA Cup. So in whole, a first successful season for you at Tamworth.
Yeah, I think no one can take away from us that the girls have had a fantastic season. When we sat down at the beginning of the year, myself, Danny and Rich, the general manager, we had sort of a vision in place of we wanted to make sure that we got Tamworth Ladies up and running, and me and Danny were quite keen to make sure that we didn't just have a first season where we sort of meander along and build as we go. We wanted to be up there and competing. And I think we recruited some fantastic players. We've put everything we could into it, and then the girls have been absolutely phenomenal. They've been unbeaten in the league with, I think, it's like a 93% win rate, which is, for me, fantastic. I'm very pleased with that. In the League Cup, we were through to the semi-final, so we are waiting to see about that. The league are holding a meeting next week. There's a vote going on to determine whether they're going to carry the League Cup semi-final and final over into next season. So there's a potential that we could still compete in that next year, but we're not too sure. And then, like you said, yeah, I think the FA Cup was a fantastic occasion for the Tamworth Football Club ladies and for ourselves to sort of test ourselves against a team that finished top four in the league above come the end of the season. So it's been a really good season in terms of learning, in terms of development, and obviously going unbeaten and picking up the amount of points we did in the fashion we did as well. You know, we weren't winning these games 1-2-0. We were putting teams to bed quite often. So I think all in all, it's been successful season, but for us now we need to make sure that we keep pre-season standards high. The girls are all out doing their fitness and stuff now, making sure that when we do come back we can put everything we've learned this season into the next season and make sure that there's nothing to compete about next year. We want to be winning every game, we want to be going as far as we can in the cups, and we want to make sure that we get the promotion that we feel we should have had this year.
Yeah, that brings me on to my next point, actually. You've had so little low points this season. You've had something crazy. I think, is it over 100 goals in the league?
Yeah. 116
goals, wow. So if you had to pick out one or two key memories from the campaign, what would it be?
I think the one that jumps straight to mind for myself is the 2-2 draw against Sutton, which may sound a little bit interesting, bearing in mind we've won all the others, but that game for me was just a huge test of the ladies' character. We were 2-0 down just before half time. They had probably reasons where they could be thinking, you know, this game isn't going to go our way. We're 2-0 down. It's the first time this season we've sort of been losing in the game. And the message was pretty calm and collected to them. We asked them to just change a couple of tiny things and go out there and carry on. And they did. They came back. We equalised to make it 2-2. And then I think everyone that was at the game, that's watched the game online, that was in and around the area, knows that we should have possibly gone on and won that game. But for me, that was a big highlight, knowing that the girls were resilient enough and had developed their mentality enough to make sure that they didn't think they were out of that game. They wanted to go forward and try and push on. And I think from that moment on, I think we were almost just that 10% extra as a team. We were going into every game knowing that We drew against last year's title contenders with a couple of players missing from our squad that day from a position of 2-0 down. And the confidence the girls got from that going forward, I can't remember how many goals we scored after that, but I know it was pushing on for like 80 goals in like 8 of 9 games, something like that. So they went on some pretty impressive run after that. And then possibly also for me, we had a friendly against Solihull Moors, who are National League, so they're, I think, 3-4 tiers above us. And we went there with a team that, you know, we put out one or two players who hadn't played so much this season, including a different goalkeeper. Unfortunately, Oz wasn't available that day. And went to a team that are 4 divisions above and drew 1-1 with them. And the compliments we received from them, and sort of they weren't expecting us to be as good as we were. So it was nice to hear that from another team. It was nice to go and show the girls that what me and Danny have said to them all the way through, and the rest of the coaching staff, about them being enough to go and compete at that level. You know, it was nice for them to see that for themselves. So I think, like you said, we've not had too many low points this season, but they're two of the key high ones for me.
Yeah, now there's been many like fantastic performances. That's a bit of an understatement, really, for on an individual basis across your team. But if you had to pick out one or two key players within your squad, who would it be and why?
I think as a squad, they've been fantastic all season. So not just those that have made the starting 11 regularly, but those that have come in and played where they've needed to and those that have started in some big pressure games. So I think as a squad, they've been fantastic. I think if you look at our league record, I think you'd have to say Liv Wolfson's been vital to us. Obviously, she's the league's top goal scorer. I think she scored like double the amount of goals as everyone else in the league. She really has been phenomenal. But again, to feed that has to come the balls in from our midfield and from our 10. So players like Chloe Finn, Hannah Baker, Jess Fisher, all in and around that midfield and number 10 role, they've all been fantastic. But I don't think that there's one key player really that's made our season. I think as a squad, they've been absolutely fantastic from goalkeeper going through to the back. I think Erica in goal as captain, she's been phenomenal. She showed her experience and really got us through, you know, some of the games when we are 7-8-0 up, it can be really easy to sort of take your eye off it and coast. And I think Erica at the back didn't allow the girls to do that. She was constantly talking to them, keeping them organised. I think some of the defenders have been very similar in that respect. And then, yeah, the midfield and attack have done their job scoring over 100 goals. Yeah. So there's been some good team performances and some individuals that have been good, but I don't think there's any one or two individuals that really have made or lost our season kind of thing.
Great stuff. Now back on a personal note now for you, from your like personal perspective, what have you learnt this season?
I think this season I've probably learned quite a lot. I think I've learned from one point of view, some of the games have been, without sounding disrespectful to some of our opponents, some of them have been slightly easy. You know, when we're scoring like 14, 15, sometimes 18 goals, I think I've had to learn to, A, set more challenges for the players so that, you know, if we know we can go out and win a game, that's not going to do the girls too much good long term. Obviously, we need to make sure we're getting the 3 points, but setting challenges for them in games so that we're prepared for teams that are going to challenge us more next season. Definitely one thing I've learned. I think another thing I've learned is about making sure that the team morale and the team bond was number one priority this time. I've been at a couple of clubs now, and whether I've been manager or assistant, it's been sort of focused on what we do on the pitch. It's got to be technically and tactically sort of astute, and we've got to be 100% on that, whereas we've sort of allowed the team bond to just do its thing. The players have sort of been left in their groups to do what they want, whereas at Tamworth, me and Danny and the coaching staff sat down and we said, we want a team that is 100% behind each other. They're, you know, we want them to be friends on the pitch, off the pitch, whatever they want to do, but it needs to be as a team. And that's one thing that I think definitely for me personally I've learned is that team bond can't be underestimated. I think there's a lot of games coming forward in pre-season and in the next couple of seasons where that team bond will prove invaluable. I think it did against Solihull, playing against a team that was that good. I think we saw the girls all dug in for each other, and it was a friendly, but those girls played like it was a cup final. And the same with the Sutton game from 2-0 down, the way that the girls put an arm around each other and sort of said, no, we've got this. And that's one massive thing I've learned, that not necessarily everything's got to be focused on the tech and tact side of football. Sometimes it really is about having good players, but making sure that they get on with each other, they trust each other, and that they trust myself and my coaching staff as well. I think that was another big thing, making sure that the girls all understood exactly how we wanted to play football. They understood that what their role was within the team, and what that means for them as a player. And I think we've been quite successful in doing that. Myself, Danny, Harry, Paul, we've made sure that whatever we've asked the players to do, there's been a good reason for it, and they've really bought into that. And I think that's there to see with our results this season.
Yeah, and a great credit to you and your team, obviously, for that. So following on from that, is there anything different that you plan to do next season?
I think maybe little bits. I think in terms of what we want to do on the pitch, it's going to be quite similar. We want to keep building our style of play. We want to be more ruthless than ever. So, you know, if we're being kept in this league, we're not being kept in this league to make up numbers. We're being kept in this league for a season longer than we'd perhaps want to be. So we're going to make sure that we go and put in our minds every team to bed this season. We want to go out and we want to be as ruthless as we can. If that means we can win every game by a good margin, then that'll be that. But also the development side, again, we want to make sure that the girls are learning all the way through. And I think one big change next season is we're looking to have a development team as well. So it will be nice to be able to give some of the players that maybe aren't having as many minutes as they want a chance to go and have a run in the development team and go and get some minutes there. And again, look at breeding through the next generation of players for us. It will be a great step for our under-16s currently to step up, try and play in our 18s then, and then through to the development. So it's nice to have that pathway there. I think there's definitely some little things we'll do different in regards to that with training and things. We'll look at possibly trying to get sort of the under-18s in development to have the same structure to the first team, so try and play a similar way with similar roles and responsibilities in each position. So I think that'll be one slight change. Obviously, this year the ladies have been quite separate in terms of we've trained on our own and we've sort of gone about business. We've always gone to support the junior games in terms of myself and Danny have gone and watched a few this season, but we've not been too hands-on with it, whereas next year, bridging that gap with having the 18s in development, I think it will be a great opportunity there, and that'll probably change some things. We'll try and make sure that we're a bit more involved in that.
Great stuff. Now, from very early in the season, I remember going, I watched your pre-season interview that you did with Kev, filmed by Lambs Media. You've been really keen to get as many people as possible to watch the ladies' games and get down to watch them. And I think it's fair to say that the support has been great.
Oh, the support has been absolutely overwhelming, and massive thank you to every single person who's been down and watched us this season. And not just that, the people that are always showing support on the social medias, on YouTube, watching the highlights and things. The support really has been fantastic. I mean, the Lamb was our home ground last year when I was at Burton Albion Women, and we didn't have anything like the numbers coming down as we do this season. I think twice this season we've had over 200 fans coming to watch what is unfortunately the bottom league of women's football. But the credit to the fans for coming down, and the girls thrive on it. A lot of them have never been in a situation where they're seeing that many fans come and support them each week. We've got a great group that always come and stand behind the dugouts as well, that make plenty of noise. So it really is fantastic to see that, and to see the people of Tamworth embracing it. One of the big things that we sat down and said in our first ever pre-season meeting with the players was we wanted to give the people of Tamworth a team that they could be proud of and get behind, not just a team that, you know, was associated with the club. And that's been fantastic. The club have really backed us. We've made sure that we've done our bit on the pitch. The girls have given everything they've got. And the fans, I think, have respected that. They've come down, and not just come down, they've enjoyed it. I think speaking to quite a lot of fans, obviously I come to quite a lot of the first team games. So speaking to them and listening to them, I think a lot of them have enjoyed it. And it's sort of grown and grown each week. So on average, I think we're getting like 140, 150. And again, it really is fantastic to see. And we hope that can continue next year. And thank you again to everyone who has been down this season. I appreciate it, the coaches appreciate it, and the players massively appreciate it, so thank you.
Yeah, you've just sort of stilled my last question there. Is there anything else that you want to say to the fans before we finish up?
I think just thank you for your support this season. It really has been appreciated by all of us, not just on match days, but the comments and things, like I said, online. And I hope that everyone's safe, well, they're staying indoors where possible, and hopefully we'll get to see you all again soon in the not-too-distant future.
Ryan, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
That's Ryan Hamilton there, Tamworth Ladies manager. So, as always, it's great to see a lot of you getting involved in the chat. Paul, Andrew Jones, Dave Brown. I hope to see a lot of you soon. Back at the Lamb as soon as all this is over. We are unfortunately coming to the end of the first episode of the quarantine podcast. I hope that you've enjoyed listening to the first of our weekly podcasts. Next week, we'll be looking into Lamb's Media's progress over the last few years, as well as more interviews from managers across the club. We also want you, the fans, to get involved in next week's episode. We want to know your favourite memories or moments from last season. Mine would have to be the away game at Hereford in the FA Cup. Feel free to get in touch via the social media accounts or drop us an email, media@thelambs.co.uk, titling your email, My Favourite Memory. On behalf of everyone at Tamworth FC, thank you very much for listening. Stay safe, stay at home, protect the NHS, and save lives.
Lambs Media is proudly sponsored by OnlySuperNews.com. News to make you feel good.
cross up, you're Martin the ball. Pass it to Mather.